G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
And it's great to be here in church because it does feel like home, C3, when you walk into a C3 church. Paul and I have been in C3 for 34 years, so that's a long time. And we've been married for 33 and a half years. We have three adult children and two grandsons, which I can't talk about because we'll be here for hours if I start talking about them, start showing you pictures and all of that. But yes, we've been married for 33 and a half years, and I like to say that actually he's been married to a number of different women over that time, and they've all been me. Because Paul was tricked. He thought he was marrying a shy, quiet as a mouse woman who didn't speak in public, because that's who he married. And look what he ended up with. It's a good thing. He usually, when I say things like this, he says, "Those were the good old days." Can you imagine him saying that? Because he does. Yeah, he says things like that. But do you know what? God is in the business of transforming people. He's in the business of taking us on a journey to who we always were. I didn't think that I was like this. I thought that I was, I was intimidated. I was afraid. I was lost in shyness. And God said, "Mel, that's not who you are. I've made you something totally different." And so there were many breakthroughs that I had to go through to become who I really was. And you guys are actually in a series on breakthrough at the moment. And God wants to bring us all to who we really are. Because life is a process and a journey, and we've never actually made it until we get to heaven and we see him face to face. And Corinthians tells us that he is transforming us. He is changing us from glory to glory. He is changing you from glory to glory. Who you are today is hopefully not who you were last year. I like to tell our church that you need to have different problems this year to the ones that you had last year. Yeah? Come on. I don't want to keep going around the same mountain and experiencing the same things. Because that's not the life that God has given us. He's given us a life where we are transformed and changed. And that's a good thing. It's a very good thing. So, breakthrough. Who's ready to see some things change? Who's ready to have a breakthrough? Who's ready to have some different problems this year? Yeah, I want different problems. I'm sick of those ones. Give me some new ones. Actually, I shouldn't say that out loud, should I? You know, if we are not, the thing about breakthrough is that we are involved. The thing about breakthrough is that if we aren't prepared to go through what is needed to see the shift or the change, nothing will shift and change. We have to desire breakthrough for it to happen. We are a part of the process. God doesn't just come and wave a magic wand over you and then, you know, God's, you probably all have heard people say, God starts something in power and he completes it in process. So, sometimes you get prayed for and something shifts in your life, but there is a process you have to walk out for this shift to be established in your life. When Jesus met up with someone who was very sick, he said to him this really important question: "Do you wish to get well?" What a silly question to ask someone who's sick. But Jesus never did anything that was silly. Do you wish to get well? Because we have to have the desire. We have to have the wish. We have to have what it's going to take to break through. Because some things get so established in our world that to get unstuck, we have to go, "No, I will not stay this way anymore. When I was bound in intimidation and fear, I had to get to a point where I said, no, I will not stay like this anymore. Maybe you're there today. I hope you are. Because God moves as we move, as we decide, as we step forward. A rookie mistake I made as a young pastor. I have been young, but now I'm old. That's what the Bible says, and that's true for me too. When I was a young pastor, I used to want something so much for someone that I hoped that it would, like, I thought I could make it happen for them. And I couldn't. It didn't matter how much I wanted someone to get free. If they didn't want to get free, they weren't getting free. And so back in the day, I would spend hours and hours and hours with someone. But they just kept going around this same cycle. And I got to the point where I realized unless they wanted it, it wasn't going to happen. All my praying was not going to make it change unless they made a decision, because that's how God works. So, do you want a breakthrough? That's the first thing. You need to want it. You need to choose it. You need to choose life, not death. Once we desire the breakthrough, the next step is to believe that it can change. It can change. You may feel so stuck. You may feel so lost, but I want to tell you this morning, it can change. In Jesus' name, it can change. How? Well, faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17 says. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. When God said, when you get a promise from the word of God, you can bank on it. I'm here to tell you today. So as we desire change, as we believe for change, what's next? That's what we're talking about this morning. What's next? God speaks. He tells us what we need to do. We hear his voice. He tells us what the next step is for breakthrough. We've chosen breakthrough. We're believing for breakthrough. And he makes it clear that he's into the breakthrough. What's next? We just get up and do it, right? That's what you do? You just get up and do what God tells you to do. Absolutely. All of you do that. Yep. It's really easy, right? Not always. There's never any doubt. You never feel doubt. There's never any risk when God speaks, right? There's always risk and doubt. We may get to doubt, we may not. We didn't in the first service. We're going to start with risk. We're looking at that today because faith and breakthrough always holds an element of risk. Always. Genesis 12 says this, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. God is always making us. I will make you, I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So right here, we see Abram hearing the word of God. God came to him and said, get up, get out of your comfort zone, take your family and move. Go, leave all that's familiar to you. Leave all that you hold dear and go to a place that I will show you. It sounds to me like the life of faith. Living the life of faith is this sort of living. And you have to know that there's risk involved in living the life of faith, because God didn't even tell Abram where he was going at that point. He just told him he had to move. And he gave him a promise, just like he gives us a promise, that there is a bright future ahead. If we want to experience breakthrough, there is always an element of leaving some things behind. Leaving behind some ways of thinking, leaving behind some things that we have been doing. Sometimes it's leaving behind some relationships that are harming. There's always an element of leaving behind when there is a breakthrough involved. And I believe that is God's word to some of you today, that you have to leave some things behind, but there is freedom on the other side. For some of you, it's like there's this huge mountain in front of you that you can't see past, you can't see around, you can't see over. But I'm telling you, on the other side is your future, and God is moving you into it if you are willing to obey Him. So once we hear God's voice for breakthrough, once we figure out what God is in, we have to be able to take the risk to follow, to take the step to follow. We have to be able to take and start to move one foot in front of the other. And it can be a risk, and it can feel risky. And risk implies that I understand the potential for failure. But the risk is worth it. There is no faith needed if there is no possibility for failure. You don't need faith if it's all certain. But people who live by faith will take risks. And I'm not talking about stupidity. I'm talking about a calculated risk, because we discern that God is asking us to move in a certain direction. Back in 1987, Paul and I were part of a C3 church in Canberra, actually the first one that started. We were there. And he was up on stage playing guitar, and I was leading worship, and we were in, we'd grown up, we'd both been in Canberra since we were five, and our family was there, and our jobs were there, and our church was there, and he had a sleep after church, and he woke up and he said, "Honey, we're moving. We're moving to Sydney. God's spoken to me. We're going to Bible college. We're going to C3 college." And I said, "Oh, okay." And I got to tell you, there was a risk involved in that move. But it was okay because it was a God move. Faith is not ignorance, like I don't know what I'm risking. Faith says that I have the potential to fail, but I'm willing to take this risk so I can fulfill the thing that is most important to me, and that is to please God. Because the most important thing for me to do is what He has asked me to do. For Abraham, it was a physical leaving. Now, I'm not saying that it's a physical leaving for everyone, but breaking through means that there is a leaving. I've already said that. It may be the fear that you're fighting so you can get to the promise of God on the other side. I believe there's some there is at least one person in this room, God has been saying to you that you need to give something to someone. And I think it's finances. And there's a risk involved. I don't know what it is, and I don't know who it's to. But I'm encouraging you to do that, to do it. You know, God can be really annoying at times. Has anyone found that? Or is that just me? I was standing in a conference, a women's conference, just worshipping the Lord and having a wonderful time in God's presence. And He said to me, He had the audacity to say this to me. He said, "I want you to go and reconcile with this person because they have felt rejected by you." And I thought, that's really rich, God, because I want to tell you how I'm feeling about that person right now. I don't suppose any of you ever have these conversations with God at all. But I said, "But what about how they've been treating me?" And I find that God just ignores me when I do all of that "what about." He just said, "I want you to go and reconcile with them." Maybe that's something you need to do today. Maybe there's a relationship that needs reconciliation. I can tell you right now, there was a huge risk involved in that for me. But what else can I do when the Holy Spirit says, do this? What else can I do? For me, it's a no-brainer. It's not easy, but it's a no-brainer. The thing that gives me, and I did, by the way, I did it. The thing that gives me the ability to do this, to take the risk, to be willing to risk it all, is this thing that a lot of us need, and it's a little word, and the word is courage. It takes courage to break through. It takes courage to be able to say, I know what I'm risking here. I know what's at stake. I'm aware of the potential for failure, but I'm prepared to do it. I am compelled to do it, but I'm compelled to do what God has said to me. I'm compelled to see that He has organized my life. He has organized this situation that I am coming up against, that I'm facing, and I know I can't do it without faith, without believing Him, but I need to take this risk. He strategically put me in a situation that I have to be willing to risk it all, to put my money where my mouth is, to act in faith. Why? That I might please Him. Because the Bible says in Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the only way I can do it is by evidence of my actions. The only way I can do it is to act, to make a move, to do this thing that I discern God is in. And that's going to take a lot of courage. But I'm willing to do it, that I might please Him. Because that's the ultimate goal for me, is to please Him. Jeff spoke a little bit about our building. And we've been out of building for now for 6 years. And it was a 10-year process to get into our building. It was fraught with difficulty because buildings can be, well, they are, actually, I think, I've never heard of any church that has just walked into a building and gone, woohoo, here we are. It's like you have this fight because you're putting a stake in the ground. And so we had a situation with our building where our project managers went into receivership, took a whole heap of money. We were paying the project managers money for the consultants who were organising all the work for our building. And guess what? Project managers didn't pass the money on. So they went into receivership, project managers. We needed all this work to get the building built. We'd given the money. They hadn't passed it on, so they didn't want to give us any of the work. Can't blame them. But we were left high and dry. So I went through this process of talking to all of these consultants, and I had one left. We negotiated with all of them. We paid some more money to them, not the full amount, but some of it. And the last one said to me, no, I'm sorry, we're not giving you the electrical part of the building. We're not doing it because our contract was with the project manager, not with you. Didn't matter what I said. Didn't matter what I did. And Paul and I were walking through Aldi one Friday night, because that's what you do when you're married. It's the romantic thing that you do, is you go to Aldi together. I think we were at the tuna aisle buying tuna, and my phone rang, and it was the project manager of this company, and he started talking to me, and then the conversation got a little bit heated, as you can imagine, maybe. And then he started accusing me of a whole heap of things. I'm like, hold on a minute, buddy. You're the one that took all our money. Anyway, I could hear Paul in the background because I was getting a little bit upset, and he's going, go, babe, go, babe. This is what you do in Aldi. It's a great place. Anyway, I hung up from this guy, and then the next morning I was on my email, and there was an email from this leader of the project management firm, and he'd written to all of the consultants and CC'd me in, and he actually just told all these lies about me and pretty much was trying to stop the project. Anyway, I read the email, got quite upset, went to hit return because I was going to give this guy a piece of my mind. I was just like, come on now. And I went to hit return and I felt the Holy Spirit say these words to me, step away from the computer. And I went, but come on, God, step away from the computer. The Lord will fight for you. You need only keep silent. That was what he said. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to fight for me. And I didn't want to keep silent because that's a hard thing for women to do. So, but I did, because he had spoken and there was a risk involved because there was a lot at stake right here. There was the building was at stake right there. But I did what he said and I stepped away from the computer and I went and worked out instead, got rid of all my anger. And 5 days later, I was sitting in my office preparing for asking our church to give more money to the building because we were going into Vision Builders Month. And I heard this little ding on my computer. And I turned around and in my email was the very thing that I was told I was never going to get, and it was the electrical contract from the consultant who told me he was never going to give it to us. And God is good. He is amazing. He does what we think can't be done if we're willing to take the risk and to do what he asks us to do. You know, faith is a verb. Faith demands action. Abraham is a great example. James 2:21 says this, "Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his action when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? His faith and his actions worked together." Verse 24 says, "So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone." He was shown to be right with God by his action, by what he did. He didn't just say, "I'll do whatever you want, God." He actually did what God asked him to do. And I can tell you, it was a risk. It was a risk when God said, "I want you to take the son who the promise is coming through, and I want you to take him up a mountain, and I want you to kill him." A risk? There's a risk. Courage? He needed courage. But he did it, and the Bible says that his faith and his actions worked together. And he was willing to risk it all to please God, to be obedient to God. Are you looking smack bang down the barrel of something you don't fully understand, but you know God is asking you to do it? You're in good company. Your father of the faith, Abraham, he experienced the same and he passed his test. Will you pass yours? His actions made his faith complete. See, some people's faith is never made complete because it's all words and no action. Faith without works is dead. They just talk the talk, but the actions don't follow. And they live a weak Christian life. If my actions don't follow my words are meaningless. Words are cheap if actions don't follow. I'll be there. You can count on me. You can count on me. I'll be there. But you never show up. God, I surrender my life to you. I want to live for you. Whatever you want, God. Whatever you want, I'm there. I'll do it. Okay, well, what I want you to do is just forgive that person who has hurt you. Oh, God, you can't be serious. I can't do that. You realize what they've done? It has to affect what we do or it's meaningless. That's what the Bible says. Once we've discerned what God is in, We have to make a decision to act because faith is a decision. There are people here today and you've been asking and waiting and believing, and God has spoken to you about a certain issue, and God wants to come to you today to remind you again, to stir up that thing inside you. And maybe he's asking you to act, to make some sort of move in a particular direction. And I'm telling you today that decision can change your world, can bring breakthrough. People don't make decisions for lots of reasons. Fear that they might make the wrong one. Some people never get married. They can't make the decision to close off all the other doors. Is this the right one? There could be someone better. It took Paul forever. Can you believe? He's not in here at the moment. I can say whatever I want. I won't go there. Maybe there's someone better. Maybe the fear of failure. What if it doesn't work? What if it does work? What if I'm wrong? What if you're right? Without a decision, there can be no progress. God requires our decision in order to move. He set it up like that. He said, choose. You choose. I've given you choice. And when we're indecisive, the devil will take advantage of the opportunity to manipulate our world. And James tells us that we become unstable and driven and tossed by every wind. Today I am and tomorrow I'm not. Will I, won't I, should I, shouldn't I? I don't know. You've got to make a decision. Go on. Trust him. I dare you to trust God. Maybe you look around and you think, the conditions aren't perfect. Maybe I should just wait a few years. Can I tell you, if you live like that, in 10 years' time, you'll still be going, the conditions aren't perfect. Ecclesiastes 11 says this, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. If God has spoken, even if it doesn't look perfect, even if you don't have all the understanding of why God has spoken to you, I want to encourage you today, trust him and do it. You won't regret it.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.